special guest, Houston Round Ball Report, Mr. Chris Gardner. He was on with us on last week, and we got him back on this week. Chris, what's going on, brother?
Houston Round Ball Review, AJ. Round Ball Review. You said report. I'm good, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm sorry, man. I'm still reeling from last night, man. Come on, man. You know, give me grace, bro. Because my air is still working, AJ. I expected it to be a blowout, but I didn't expect it to be 41 points.
I'll do you one better. One better, AJ. I was on another radio station talking to some other brothers yesterday. I went on a limb and said I thought the Rockets would win game three. So.
Yeah, I figured they were going to lose game three because of the way Golden State lost game two and because of the fact they were going home, because of the fact Steph Curry got embarrassed defensively, didn't play well offensively. I expected him to have a big day, and I expected them to win about 18, 20, maybe 21, but not 41.
Yeah, it got away from the Rockets in the third quarter. Warriors went on that 10-0 run to go up 21. Rockets had one little brief spurt to cut it to 13, and then Steph went off with 13 of the next 18 points. They were led by 28 points and cruised from there. And the thing that the Rockets have said it after each loss, you know, the handful of losses they have had this season, but hearing James Harden and Chris Paul say it once again about we weren't aggressive last night, like D'Antoni called the team soft, Harden agreeing with that comment that they were soft. Why are you soft? This is the playoffs. This is the Western Conference Finals. If you're going to lose with being aggressive. Lose being beaten by the better team that night. Don't come back after the game and say, we played soft. We weren't aggressive. Well, that's your fault. That's your problem. That's not a Warrior problem. That's your fault.
Well, I tell you what. Somebody else brought that up earlier in a call before you got on, and I said to me, those are talking points. I mean, you know, I just feel like those are the standard things the guys say just to get away from us. Because you know how we're all huddled in that one room, just sitting up on the podium. And, you know, I just feel like some of those are talking points. I mean, soft is a word that I don't know if that's the right analogy. They didn't play well. PJ didn't show up. Trevor didn't show up. What is going on with Clint Capella? Is Delonte West sleeping with his mother? I mean, what's going on with Clint Capella?
And you bring up a good point about it is talking points because they said the same thing after each loss. They said something similar to the effect of we weren't aggressive, this, that, and the other. So, but the Warriors have neutralized Clint Capella and really negated a lot of the alley-oop options for Clint to get. So he had, you know, 13 and 8, only played 22 minutes, which is kind of a surprise because I think in some of the Rockets lineups, he is a decent defender, good enough defender to go against Kevin Durant on those switches or Steph Curry on those switches rather than other folks. But Rockets have won one game out of these three so far. P.J. Tucker scored 21 points in that victory. Other two games, 1 point, 3 points. He took three shots in both. What's up with that?
Yeah, and that's my thing. It's almost like they went back to game one's game plan. Like it wasn't good enough to win game one. Maybe it's good enough to win game three. And, you know, again, it just wasn't there. PJ has got to play like he's one of the starting five. Trevor has got to play like he's one of the starting five. What's up with all the missed layups?
Game three was just a worse example of game one. Game one, they missed 11 layups. Game three, they missed, I think, 14 shots in the paint in the first half. And James Harden missed an easy layup, you know, going to his right hand on a drive in the first half. It's really strange how they can miss layups. And Warriors' defense was good to a point. But it wasn't like these layups were contested layups. Chris Paul was just horrible for much of last night. He had a short shot that he missed. He wasn't challenged on that shot. He missed the shot. So,
yeah, in fact, his bucket, first bucket, they gave him a goaltend, but that thing was going to fall way short. You know, that's my thing. You know, like you just said, Golden State's defense wasn't locked down, shut down, heck fire. It wasn't that. It was good. They were contested shots, but nothing was just, you know, man, they're stifling the Rockets. The Rockets made it easy for Golden State to play defense, and then they didn't, you know, they found a weak matchup on the other end, and it just happened to be James Harden.
Right. And, you know, we combined the missed layup to the turnovers. A lot of the turnovers were unforced turnovers. The game was close. Game was tied in the first quarter. Warriors ended the quarter on a 9-0 run. Rockets pulled within seven toward the end of the second quarter. Warriors finished better. Went up by double digits at halftime. Then the Warriors had the run to start the third quarter. The Rockets had a lot of self-inflicted wounds. There were times in the first half the Warriors missed shots, and the Rockets were just allowing the Rockets to hang around. And then the Rockets went ahead and missed a layup. Played bad defense, threw a bad pass. Third quarter, Steph Curry and Warriors said, well, y'all didn't want to take advantage of us keeping you around, we're going to push you away. And that's what happened.
Right. We got Chris Gardner joining us from Houston Roundball Review. Breaking down the Rockets game, which there's really not much to break down. I mean, 41-point differential, that's one of those deals that you just put that on the fire, you let it burn, you know, you sip a cup of coffee or tea, and you get ready for the next game. So what adjustments does Mike D'Antoni and these Houston Rockets need to make for tomorrow night?
They got to actually do what they said they were going to do in Game 3, and that's be aggressive, attacking, be much more aggressive on defense, talk better, not leave so many Warriors open on the perimeter or anywhere. Get better, do better in transition, match up better in transition. They need their defense to be much more effective to allow them to score easier in transition or score earlier in half-court sets and not allow a Warriors defense to set and make things difficult for them. We know it. What formula works. It worked in Game 2. So why did you just not do it in Game 3 and go backwards? Everybody expected the Warriors to play better going home. Rockets just seemed like, we'll just show up and maybe the Warriors won't shoot well. Maybe Steph will, his conditioning problem, you know, will still be a hindrance. He'll miss threes again. None of that happened. Steph is getting, the more he plays, he had 3 days off before Game 3, so he got a chance to get his wind conditioning back and better. He shot lights out in the third quarter. You can't rely on Steph to miss shots, especially open shots. And to his credit, he got easy shots. He got some layups, got his game going, got his confidence going, and then those threes started raining from the sky, from deep. And then you know you're in trouble.
Yeah. Then it gets away from you to the tune of 41 points. So you're Mike D'Antoni heading into tomorrow. Who's your X factor? Who are you going to go to and say, look, I need you. I got to have you. Not named James Harden, not named Chris Paul. Who is that third person that you got to have tomorrow night?
P.J. Tucker.
Over Trevor Ariza. I agree with that. I really do.
Yeah, I think P.J., his defense usually is rock solid, but you need him to be more of a factor on offense. He took 5 shots last night, 3 shots in game 1. Some of the shots to get himself going may be an offensive rebound on, you know, you put him on a board, you score a layup on a putback. Get yourself going, get you an easy bucket like that, see the ball going through the hoop. Sometimes you just got to do that yourself to get yourself motivated, get yourself started, and then get those corner threes going, knock down those shots as well. But sometimes he has to take it upon himself. I mean, he had a transition layup that he missed, that he glided through the hoop, missed the layup. That hurt. You know, you can't miss easy opportunities because you're not going to get them that often.
End up being 4 and possibly even 5-point turnarounds. You miss the 2 on one side. They go down and hit a 2, that's a 4-point turnaround. They go down and hit a 3, which they're liable to do, and it's a 5-point turnaround because you missed that one basket. You can't do that against a Golden State.
Exactly. And we're not, you, me, anybody else, let's not overthink this. Rockets got to make the shots, especially the easy ones that they're going to get, because they may not happen that often. So, again, you got to make them. Let's not overthink this and say, well, you know, this, that, Warriors' defense is so great. Rockets had enough shots that they could have made, should have made, that they didn't. And then, on defense, you got to be closer to your man than you were last night. You got to get over those screens. You got to talk better on defense. You got to make sure that everybody's on the same page and not allowing these open, easier looks that the Warriors will knock down much better and much higher percentage than other NBA teams.
Chris Gardner from Houston Roundball Review joining us here on the Lunch Break on our Media Monday. One of the best media guys around that I know. Very diligent, very professional, and great, great work. So one of the Facebook Live viewers said, Clint, you know, if maybe Clint's offense starts with his defense. If Clint can crash the boards, if Clint can, if you can't block a shot, affect a shot, he is not the presence in the middle that I thought he would be the X factor, because they don't have anybody that can match up with Capella. He'll go all around Sasha Pachulia, and Draymond Green is just too small. I don't care how great of a defender he is, he's too small for Clint Capella. Does his offense need to start on the defensive end?
Yes, but you can say the same thing about the rest of the Rockets. Need to start on the defensive end. The Warriors are doing a good job. You're seeing where Clint's lack of post, low post game comes into effect. And really, the Rockets don't have a low post game. It's not part of their offense. Their offense is based on the perimeter, based on getting to switch and beating your man off the dribble. And then if you collapse on them, kicking out to three-point shooters. They don't have a go-to low-post offense. One of their best low-post players may be Joe Johnson. Not sure he's a great matchup in this series because he's older, slower, and he's not great on defense. But if they need somebody to throw the ball down to down low, he might be a guy to go to as opposed to Ryan Anderson, you know, who's hardly plays, Nene, who I don't believe played at all after anyway, despite the blowout. Clint, he gets his points on lobs, alley-oop dunks, tip-ins, and offensive, you know, rebounds, things like that. He doesn't get them on jump hooks, face-up, because that's not what he's been asked to do. And I'm not really sure at this point in his young career that he is capable of doing that on a consistent basis and being a go-to low-post scorer just yet. He may develop into that, but that's not what he does right now.
Yeah, and I got you loud and clear. Chris Gardner, Houston Roundball Review. You know, it's almost like when a shot goes up, Clint needs to dive to the basket to be at least in the vicinity of a rebound or a putback or a tip, or at least, you know, scrap with a guy who's trying to pull down the rebound. I don't see him doing that. It's almost like he's the, you know, how some teams go with the three-guard offense. It's almost like he's the third guard out there. He's running back to get on defense, and it's like, bro, I need your big behind underneath the basket trying to make things rough down there for somebody else. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know he's not a tough guy, but, you know, I need that big body down there doing something more than, you know, than missing shots and turning the ball over.
The Warriors are sending multiple people like him to keep him off the glass, which might be a reason why the last two games, Chris Paul is averaging double figures in rebounds, because those opportunities that Clint would normally get are going to somebody else. So that could be one reason. The Warriors are making a part of their game plan to negate Capella's effectiveness.
Gotcha.
That PJ and Trevor need to step up. The Warriors are not going to let Clint do it.
Exactly. I agree with you. And that's why, you know, again, like you said, PJ's got to be that X factor. He's got to be that other guy. Trevor's just got to be Trevor. I mean, Trevor is the guy that when he went off for his, 19 the other night, Coach Kerr said, you know, Trevor, you know, he brought his name up specifically because you know you're going to get good defensive out of Trevor. If you get 18, 19, 20 points out of him, that's bonus, man. That's something that they almost don't even account for.
Agreed. And we could say the same thing about PJ. And your man, Eric Gordon, didn't play well last night, offensively nor defensively. He missed defense assignments. He didn't block out. He got beat on defense too much. He didn't shoot well last night either. So he was a problem on both ends. I think he had the worst plus-minus of anybody in the game. Wow.
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but does he have tiny hands? Why does he turn the ball over so much?
You know, that could be. I never thought about that being a reason why he seemed to lose the ball a lot, especially in the paint. But that, you know, could be, because some of his turnovers are Eric, what happened there, man? You did, the ball just seemed to slip out of your hands, or you know. So
yeah, it's almost like, Eric, don't drive. Just act like you're going to drive. Step back out, hit the three, because as soon as he gets in the paint, it's going to be Golden State going the other way with it.
Because he had three turnovers last night, and he missed 6 of 8 threes. So, you know, he was a big detriment to the Rockets last night.
All right, we got Chris Gardner. I'm sorry, I'm about to call you Eric Gardner. No, I don't want to do that. May he rest in heaven. Chris Gardner joining us from Houston Round Ball Review. Chris, I'm going to be in Oakland. I'm flying out tomorrow morning. Going to be going to the game tomorrow night. And I got to tell you, last night just watching it on TV, I turned it off after the second quarter because I knew it was going to be one of those days. I hated to say it. I was like, I was right. I just didn't know how bad it was going to be. If I'm at the game, what do I do if it goes bad like that again?
Well, AJ, stay out of trouble, man, because, you know, you're an emotional brother, so don't yell out anything that might get you in trouble or get you thrown out, something like that, because apparently...
Yeah, I can't be on the streets of Oakland for having been kicked out of the press row on... at the game. I can't do that. So, but you know, I'm about that life. So, man, I gotta tone that down, huh?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Because you know, Oakland, that's no soft town there, man. So you know, stuff happens in Oakland, man. But apparently, there are people in media who were cheering last night in the game. I saw one of the guys I follow on Twitter, and he mentioned a few times that there was cheering in the press box, and as you know, that's not allowed.
Yeah, that's like press row rule number one: don't cheer. None of that. I just hope that, you know, let's go this angle. Golden State has won 16 straight at home, which is, I think it's an NBA record, at least franchise record. Since Kevin Durant, they have not lost at home, okay? Is there a way that the Rockets can change that tomorrow night? Because I think that will have a obviously a series effect, but it might even have a mental effect on the Warriors if they finally lose one at home. To, you know, now you don't have that invincibility at home.
I think the Rockets could still win game four. I have my doubts about whether it would cause any of the Warriors to think, you know, they're no longer invincible, to have a long-term effect like in game six. So I do believe the Rockets can win game four tomorrow. They have to do more of what they did in game two, do it better than they did in game two because they're going to be on the road. First quarter, like I said before, they started well. The game was tied at 22, and then they didn't score the rest of the first quarter and gave up the last 9 points. So they know what things work against the Warriors. They need to stick with those things and stop going into these bad habits and turning the ball over. And first, you know, it seems simple to say, make your layups.
Right.
It's not like right. The Warriors blocked, you know, have just these titans of shot blocking to swat everything away. You know, they had 7 block shots, which kind of surprised me looking at the stats. They had 7 block shots, but it's not like we're talking about Akeem and Wilt and Bill Russell blocking shots and coming modern, you know, Rudy Gobert, guys like that in the paint. So what is the reason for 2 out of these 3 games so far that the Rockets seem to have the yips when it comes to making layups?
Yeah, if they were jump shots, I'd say tired legs. But how do you miss layups? I mean, don't get me wrong, I know that happens, but when they miss a string of them, you know, what was 11 in one game and 14 or close to 14 last night? How does that happen?
It's apparently it's contagious on this team that once one person does it, it just seems like it, you know, goes and spreads through the rest of the team. Maybe these guys need to get that extra half step, that extra dribble, and just dunk it. And stop trying to be,
right,
you know, cute and land it up with this spin, all the kind of stuff. Dunk it. You take that hit and go up and dunk it.
I know we're not talking about that game, but that's what the point guard from Boston did the other night, man. When he got a breakaway, you knew LeBron was right behind him. He said, forget me laying this up on the backboard because Bron, go get it anywhere. he yooked that thing down, and it didn't make a difference, but he sure sent a message like, yeah, I'm not trying to be cute out here. So when you were talking, I was thinking mental. I'm not saying that this team is not mentally tough. I'm definitely not going to call them soft. But maybe there are mental lapses when it comes to layups and when it comes to closing out on your man. I mean, even if you can't block the three, close out on him and make it a contested three. You know, maybe it's mental lapse.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of this, especially on defense, is lapses, mental lapses. I'm not sure. I mean, in order for the missed layup to be contagious, I guess you would have to consider a mental lapse being a possibility, and the reason why they're missing so many of them, why so many different guys are missing layups, that maybe they're out of the corner of their eyes thinking, well, I missed the last one, or PJ missed that one, or Chris missed that one, so I might miss this one too if I don't put this extra spin on it, or, you know, that kind of thing. Just dunk it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, in fact, Donna Coleman Holman texted three times on Facebook Live, dunk it, dunk it, dunk it. So, Chris Gardner, give me your prediction for tomorrow night. Be honest. I already know you're a Warriors fan.
I'm not a Warriors fan. I'm a Pistons fan, Andre. You know, AJ.
I know, but I'm hurt. Had to mess with you a little bit.
But for I'm going to just go with what I said. You know, Rock's going to find a way to win tomorrow. Series being, we'll come back to Houston for game 5, 2-2, and then we'll go from there. And I still have the Warriors win the series, but some ways, I'm losing my 41 last night, I'm not confident, but I'm going to stick with it. The series will come back to Houston tied at 2. So that means Rockets are going to win game 4.
All right. Hey, since you're a Pistons fan, let's change gears for a second. Becky Hammon, head coach, yes, no, would you be okay with that?
Oh, yeah, I'd be fine with it. I don't believe she's going to get the job. But, yeah, I'd have no problem with it. My younger years, back in the day, you know, an older school mentality, those guys probably wouldn't, no way in the world that they would, you know, play for a woman. But now she has experience coaching under Coach Pop of San Antonio. She was a point guard. She's put in some of the time. You know, there are other candidates who have coached longer than she has, but she has put in some time and she has that respect of her peers and players. So I believe she will become an NBA head coach. I'm just not convinced it will be of the Detroit Pistons.
If you got a choice between Becky Hammon and Dwayne Casey, which one do you go with?
For the Pistons?
Yep, for your Pistons.
I would probably lean toward Dwayne Casey.
And you know what? I wouldn't be mad at you at that. If you were telling me Becky Hammon or Jeff Van Gundy or Stan Van Gundy, I'd be mad at you if you went with anything other than Becky Hammon. But Dwayne Casey got probably the rawest deal since who was our head coach? He won Coach of the Year.
Don Chaney.
And then he got Don Chaney. Got probably the rawest deal since Don Chaney. So, hey, man, tell everybody where they can find you and follow you with all that you do at Houston Roundball Review.
Appreciate it, man. www.HoustonRoundBallReview.com. HoustonRoundBallReview.com. Got the Facebook page. I'm on Twitter at VHRReview. Houston Roundball Review on YouTube and Instagram. You can go both of those and obviously check out the clips of I'm at the Rocket Practice for the home games. Post-game interviews are on there. Clips from practices on there as well on the YouTube channel. So I'm trying to evolve as I get older with all the different ways to get information out there and reach the people. So HoustonRoundBallReview.com, on Houston Roundball Review on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and lastly, Twitter, VHR Review.
And man, you're starting to make the rounds on the radio stations too, man. I caught you on another show and great stuff. So we're going to have you in studio real soon, man. Got to have you in to co-host with me.
Oh, sounds good, man. I look forward to it.
Chris Gardner, y'all, from Houston Roundball Review, man. Hey, check your Twitter tomorrow, bro. I'm going to be all up in your inbox tomorrow.
Look forward to it. Thank you, man. Once again, as always,
well, have a good one, Chris.
Thanks,
man. All right.